Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Branson, Missouri and my home. And we're looking at the judgment of the nations, which has already started and which will culminate at the judgment seat of Christ for the nations. Zechariah is a prophetic book. And in Zechariah 1:15, the Lord says, "I'm very sore displeased with the nations that are at ease. For I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction." That means he was just a little displeased with Israel, but the nations where they went treated them so badly. Now, also as a warning, God says in Zechariah 2:8-9, "For thus saith Jehovah of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that touches you touches the apple of his eye." It means the pupil of his eye. "For behold, I will shake mine hand upon you, and they shall be a spoil. And you shall know that Jehovah of hosts has sent me." Now, we're going to go to the New Testament and look at this judgment of the nations that takes place. Following the marriage supper of the Lamb, the Master leaves to go to earth, the King now, and fight against those nations led by the Antichrist, who in the Battle of Armageddon, in one last attempt to destroy Israel, besieges it. Zechariah 14:3-4. "Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half toward the south." Just after that, when Jesus sets his feet down and defeats the Antichrist, then comes the judgment of the nations. This is when the Son of Man comes in his glory. It is the nations, not the Jews nor the church, that are before him for judgment. These are the nations who were on earth during the tribulation. There's no mention of a resurrection of the dead here. This is a works judgment based on how they treated his brethren, the Jews. And Jesus, the Bible in Micah chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, calls the Jews his brethren. Now, Matthew 25:31-46. "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him," this is not when he comes for the rapture of the church, but when he comes in his glory, and everybody sees him. "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations." The nations, not the Jews, not the church, the nations. "And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats." I've heard preachers preach that this is a judgment of Christians. No, 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 you're not going to be in a goat pile. You're not judged on your works. Jesus, you're saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. So the nations, they've been here on the earth. They've been here during the tribulation period. The Jews have had a hard time. And some of the nations have been kind to the Jews and some have not. And they're going to be decided on who goes into the millennial as a nation. Now, my grandson asked me when we were recording, what about people within the nations? Well, these are nations as nations. Will there be a United States of America? Will there be an Egypt? Will there be, you can name any country. England, will there be one? It's going to depend, nations as nations. Now, you and I are in the church. We're already at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We've completed that marriage supper. We're probably here on our white horses, come back with him. We're part of the judging team, not the judged. So you're not going to end up in a goat pile somewhere. "He shall set his sheep on his right hand." Oh, I better go back to this. Individuals within nations, of course, will know individual judgment. But we're talking nations as nations. "And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdoms prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. In prison, you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungered or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or in sick, or in prison? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Works, a works judgment. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart ye from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungered, you gave me no meat, thirsty, you gave me no drink, a stranger you took me not in, naked you clothed me not, sick and in prison you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered or a thirst or a stranger or naked, etc.? And he shall answer them, saying, I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it unto one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting judgment, punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. And life will be, eternal life will be restored to them in their natural earthly bodies. You and I will have a glorified body, but these will go on living on the earth for 1,000 years at least until the devil comes and raises up some against him. But here's the scripture that tells you the Jews are his brethren. Micah chapter 5, 2 and 3. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up, his brethren, until the time that she which travails has brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. He calls them his brethren. Judgment of the earth. Earth itself will know judgment. Everything is going to perfection. God will not leave anything that doesn't move on to perfection. You and I will move on to perfection. We will move on unto, if you're a born-again believer, you will move on unto the image of Jesus Christ. Earth itself will be perfected. It's going through judgments now and later. Isaiah 24 prophesies of the judgment of the earth. Verse 5 gives 3 reasons why earth and the haughty people of the earth meet judgment, as spoken in the book of Revelation. Isaiah 24 is about the judgment of the earth. And verses 4 through 6, I'm reading from the American Standard Read. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The lofty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is polluted under the inhabitants thereof. And it gives 3 reasons. Number 1, because they have transgressed the laws. That would be God's laws. Number 2, because they violated the statutes. That would be God's statutes. And number 3, they have broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are found guilty. The Bible defines the everlasting covenant. Psalm 105, 8 through 11. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac. And he confirmed the same unto Jacob for a statute. Now here is the everlasting covenant, quoted right here, Psalm 105, 11. To Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, Unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. Now remember that it said in Isaiah, the chapter on judgment, that the earth is going to know judgment because they broke the everlasting covenant. The everlasting covenant is defined in Psalm 105, verse 11. To Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, Unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. That is also spoken to us in 1 Chronicles 16, 14 through 18. He is Jehovah our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever. The word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac, and he confirmed the same unto Jacob for a statute. to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, Unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. In my little book, God's Promises for the Holy Land, that came about because Hannah and I, my granddaughter and I, were at a church in Florida, and her little roommate from Rhema called her and said, Does your grandmother have any scriptures that the land belongs to Israel? She'd been taking a course offered after she graduated from Rhema from another university, night classes. The university's not in Tulsa, someplace else, but they were giving night classes in Tulsa. And she said, my professor, it was a Pentecostal school too, university. And she said, my professor said that the Palestinians have as much right to the land as do the Jews. Folks, major denominations are making that their stand. It is a replacement theology stand. And so I have filled this little book. I went right home and I got to my typewriter and I did 19 pages of promises just the ones where God says. Well, let me just read you this from Judges 2:1. I opened my Bible. And he said, I brought you out of Egypt and led you into the land which I have sworn to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. I came home, put those 19 pages, shipped them, sent them out to her. And then I decided to put it in a little book because I know there are a lot of students that are going to universities where they're hearing the same thing. They're going to churches where they're hearing the same thing. It's very, very dangerous. Very dangerous to go against God's promises to Israel for the land of Israel. We don't want to break the everlasting covenant. We don't want to encourage them nor any other peoples. I know a Palestinian pastor in Jerusalem, very good friends with him, and his church is just all the time it's under attack. Number one, because they're Christians, and number two, they support Israel. They know that the land belongs to Israel. In fact, he was introduced to Christians United for Israel by a rabbi. And so it's very unusual. But we must see what God's word says. We cannot argue with God's word. And much, much, much theological teaching comes from that old, terrible doctrine of replacement theology, which says God's through with the Jews and all the promises go to the church. That's not true. And his promises, he said, you get it forever. Over and over and over in these promises, you're going to see, he said, I lifted up my hand. That means God lifted up his hand and took an oath that they get the land forever. So we've put together these two books, God's Promises of the Land to Israel and Judgment of the Nations. $1 each. Little book you can carry in your purse. You can order a lot of them and give away. They normally sell for $3, but this radio offer, they're $1 plus shipping. We will send them to you, and you will be blessed by them, and then you can give them to others to be blessed. Shalom, shalom. Until next time.